Welcome. This is Ask the Pastor, your favorite live and on-air program, where you get to ask your questions directly to the pastor and get real-time answers. Remember, Ask the Pastor can be any pastor, but right now, it is Pastor Moses Alu. All right, thank you for staying tuned. We have other questions coming in, and this is Brother James from Cameroon. Says, Shalom, Pastor Moses, you will live long so that your ministry can bless many more generations. Amen. My questions are, number one, can a minister in a church have a good reason not to take communion in that church? And two, can such a minister continue to minister in that church? Brother James from Cameroon.
No, it would be funny for a minister in a church not to take communion. Communion is an ordinance that Christ gave that communicates our fellowship with the sufferings on the cross. Amen. We share in that suffering, and of course, it's expected that when we come together, we are remembering what he did, and we are remembering what actually is the link that link all of us together in such a fellowship. Okay. Is what happened on the cross. So if a minister will not take communion, then something is grossly wrong. His own way of telling you he's not part of that fellowship. Okay. So he should be approached to find out why. Okay. And the reason should be thrashed out. Okay. And if he refuses to give reason for that, if you cannot join us to take communion, you cannot join us to have fellowship. Okay. In the fellowship. Okay. That's the truth. God bless you, Brother James from Cameroon.
Okay. So that gives you the answer concerning communion. Okay, Sister Chidima from Lagos State. God bless you, Sister Chidima. Shalom, Sister Chidima. God bless you. You can go on with your question. God bless you. You can go on with your question, Sister Chidima.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom.
Please, I want to ask a question.
Go on.
Okay, the question I want to ask, that why will evil prevail over good? A message was given to a brother, a minister, during the June camp. Okay. That his fire was high, that the presence of God was smart on him, until somebody gave him a gift, a suit, and immediately he wore it. Yeah. He started going down spiritually. Okay. So my question is, why will evil continue to prevail over good? Why can't that evil man give him that gift, and that gift to catch fire or something? You don't understand. So why will evil continue to prevail over good? That's why the fact that we are children of God. So please, Daddy.
Sister Chidima, you can hear me.
I can hear you, sir.
Now, in Matthew 16, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the gates of hell shall not prevail, correct?
Yes, sir.
Why will the gate of hell come at all?
Okay.
Secondly, I want you to note that God has his plan for every one of us.
Okay.
Our confidence and what consoles us is in Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose.
Okay.
Whatever happens to us, God is aware of it. If he does not stop it, it is because he's going to work his own purpose.
Okay.
Now, do you know that the Bible said by the stripes of Jesus Christ we are healed, correct?
Yes, sir.
Do you get sick?
Yes, sir.
He said by the stripes of Jesus Christ we are healed. He didn't say by the stripes of Jesus Christ we shall not be sick.
Yes, sir.
So when it comes, then we possess our position. Now we now go and pray, it should not have effect against the children of God anymore. But the important thing there is that it works out God's purpose in our lives. Now, sometimes we have to find out what was our spiritual estate as at the time the man attacked us.
Okay.
The evil ones attack us. What was our spiritual estate? So then it helps us. Always remember that we are in a world filled with wickedness.
That's true.
And God himself allows the source of evil, Satan himself. He has the power to take him out of the world, but he has left him. So that is where your question should start from. Why should God allow Satan to be disturbing his children?
I don't know too.
It is to work out his purpose. Now, in Psalm 73, there is a scripture in Psalm 73. Now, if you read it from verse 1, just let's get it.
Okay, Psalm 73, verse 1 says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well near slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
He saw the prosperity of the wicked. Anything evil they do, it prospers. They are prospering their evil.
For there are no bands in their debt. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men.
Therefore
pride compasseth them about as a chain.
Now go to verse 16.
Verse 16 says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful.
Sister Chidima, like you, when the psalmist thought to know this contradiction, like this type of question you are asking, what did he say?
It was too painful for me.
Until
I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood. Then understood I their end.
It is their end. When you see their end, then you'll understand why God allowed them like that. Because he has concluded their end. He's just waiting for the appointed time to finish them. Sister Chidima, is that clear?
Yes, darling.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, now.
God bless you, Sister Chidima. Thank you for calling in. All right, questions can still be sent in. We have another question through SMS. Through WhatsApp, probably. Brother Good News from Canada says, Shalom, Pastor. Is there any difference between demons and fallen angels?
Now, okay. A demon. Brother Good News from
Canada.
They are all English terminologies. You know, they're all English terminologies that describe the tormentor. The fallen angels are servants of Satan. They are servants of Satan. And they are in the business of manufacturing and spreading tormenting problems. To torment mankind, to torment and create problems for God's creature. Now, those things they use to torment us, those things they create to torment us, is the weapon they use. It's called demon. They are demons. I don't know what that is. What they use, what the fallen angels use to torment us, as their weapon, it's called demon. So that is it.
All right, God bless you, brother. Good news from Canada.
Oh, devils.
All right, we have a caller, brother Evans from Lagos State.
Okay.
God bless you and shalom. You can go on with your question, brother Evans.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you, brother Evans. Shalom.
Yeah, shalom, sir. I'm calling you from Lagos State.
You're welcome.
Yeah. My question is that someone have already baptized in the church after baptism, and the person has been praying. The person is also doing evangelism, going out for evangelism, but the person have not received the Holy Spirit. So I want to find out what can the person do to receive the Holy Spirit.
It is to keep praying and be in expectation, for there is appointed time for God to visit every one of us. Keep praying until you receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen. All That's...
Is that clear?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Keep praying until, and wait patiently this appointed time. Keep praying. I've been in expectation. For he who has receives. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, he said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? So we have that assurance there. If you ask, they will give you.
Okay.
God bless you.
So I should keep on praying.
Keep praying and be in expectation. Anything can happen at any time, anywhere.
Okay, sir. My second question is that when I visit the church and I listen to your message, it's too much, sir. You are preaching raw message. But I discovered that some members in the church, they are seeing painting, putting on their attachment on their head. They cover it with their hair tie. So I think we are supposed to have the security people at the gate supposed to screen people that is coming to the church so that they will not be putting on, members will know, because I observe it. Even some members, they paint and they put on an attachment in the church, but they cover it.
Brother,
but I discover it.
Brother,
even last two Sunday when I visited there, I saw them.
Brother,
so,
Brother Evans,
I think,
Can you hear me?
It's just an observation, sir.
Yeah, I want to answer you. You're asking a question.
Yes.
And then you are making observation. I want to comment too.
Okay, sir.
Now, you are not a member of the church.
Yeah, I'm a new person, sir.
No, what do you mean new? What do you mean? You are not a member, or you visited us, correct?
No, I visited the church. It's almost two Sundays now.
Now, which church do you belong?
Okay, sir. My former church was Grace Nation, but I left the church because when I listened to the message, your message, it enticed me, and I discovered that it's really raw message. So that is why decided to worship with the church.
In your former church, they don't allow women to paint and have attachment, is it?
They normally open their hair. But when I discover in the Bible, when I listen to your message, they are not supposed to put on attachment and also paint makeup, doing their makeup.
Let me just give you an explanation.
Okay, sir.
And an advice too. Now, when you go to a church, the reason you go to that church that you focus on.
Okay, sir.
If not, you'll be distracted because every church has mixed multitude.
Okay.
Now, the church is a public place.
Okay, sir.
And new people come always to the church.
Okay, sir.
And they come and they hear the gospel and then they respond according to what they hear.
Okay, sir.
Now, some will see it immediately, some will not see it immediately.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, we must not produce manufactured holiness.
Yes, sir.
It must not be by law that if you are coming to worship in Bride Assembly Church, you should not paint, you should not put attachment. If you present it like that, you will have a gathering of impersonators.
Okay, sir.
Now allow the Holy Ghost to deal with the individual.
Okay.
So your problem should be with what you are hearing from the pulpit, not the response from the people, because Satan can discredit that kind of place by pushing carnal people there.
Yes, sir.
And please, it is not in the church that you know who is a believer or not.
Yes, sir.
It is after the church service.
Okay, sir.
So you don't rate a Christian. Say somebody is a Christian by the way the person dresses.
Okay, sir.
It's more than the dress.
Yes.
But at the same time, to a large extent, we also know that people can be stumbled. So basically, we don't allow people come to church, for instance, without covering their hair, because it is an ordinance in the Bible. It is,
okay,
yeah, it is a church order. When we come together to worship, that should be implemented.
Okay, sir.
But we cannot stand with chemical at the gate and clean it up, clean their painted finger.
Yeah.
When they go, they will paint it back after service.
Yes. Yeah,
so what have you achieved?
From the church?
What will you achieve in the life of that person that when they were coming to your church, you use chemical and clean up their painted fingers? Because yeah, when he goes, he will paint it.
Yes, it's true, sir.
Again, so and we don't preach and become that legalistic.
Yes, it's true.
But we'll try our best. The one that the eyes will see and get us stumbled, we ensure it. Now, at the gate in the church, if you don't dress properly, we have a group of sisters and brothers with clothes there that can borrow you to cover up properly. That's what we do in Brother Assembly Church. So that you don't come and sit down and show your nakedness in the church.
Yes,
we will help you, cover you up. And when you leave, please give us back our clothes and go the way. So we try our best, but we will not go that legalistic and produce hypocrites, because you may dress very well and still be wicked, be a witch inside your heart. God bless
you. Thank you very much. God bless you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, God bless you, Brother Evans. God bless you. Really nice feedback from you. And thank God you didn't keep it to yourself, because you probably would have gone and maybe this would have stumbled you. But this is why we have asked the pastor. So you throw your questions and get clarification in any area you seem to have some issues. We still have more questions coming in. And we have this from Ganymex from the Emirates. Says, Shalom to the Bride of Christ. Does everyone face tribulation? I believe that the elect face tribulation that give them sanctification. In the world, you shall have tribulation in me. You shall have rest. Second question is, can God seek to kill a man? Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. If we say he seek it like he find it hard to do so. Okay, if we say he seek it like he find it hard to do so. Let's start with the first question. Saying, does everyone face tribulation?
Yes. When you say tribulation, you are talking about persecutions because of Christ. And if you listen to my message yesterday,
yes,
I brought some of this. There's the token of affliction.
Yes.
And I tried to bring it out in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28 and 29 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you read it from verse 1 to verse 10. And Christ himself also in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 to 38 speaks about, if you follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 to verse 12 there, Apostle Paul says, all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And Matthew 24 lets us know that it's he that endure this to the end that shall be saved. We are ordained to suffer for Christ's sake. So all go through it. I don't know if that is answered. If that is what he means by tribulation.
Yes. So that answers that question. Then he was referring to Exodus 4, verse 24, if I'm not mistaken.
Exodus 4.
Yes. It says, and it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. That's referring to Moses, when the Lord came in his anger to want, because he didn't circumcise the son.
Oh,
he was saying,
okay.
Can God seek to kill a man?
When you say seek, you know, you always read the Bible in the context.
The term that was used, sought to kill.
That's what I'm saying. What if, I mean, reading the context, you know, don't just read it like that, the letter, the sentence like that. When he says sought to kill, that is he wanted to kill him. That's the meaning. He was about to kill him. That's what it means. So I don't know what he's saying, you know, he was about to kill him.
So, I think this is actually
it's very, very clear
that the Lord actually sought.
Yes.
So, but I think the preferable thing would be for the man to avoid what will make God want to permit.
No, he's talking of the interpretation of that. You know, the Lord sought to kill him. That is, God wanted to kill him for disobedience. But open the same God again opened the eyes of Zipporah to see his wife, to see it. So it's God doing it because he ordained Moses for it. He will kill him. It's just an expression of his anger.
All right. God bless you, Jim and Ganimex from the Emirates. So if we have other questions coming through SMS or WhatsApp, okay, we have Brad Bethel from Germany. Shalom, sir, and more grace, sir. Sir, where can we see the lineage of Esau are? Or are they also in Israel? Is Satan already cast? Oh, this is a second question. First question is, where can we see the lineage of Esau are? Are they also in Israel?
No, Israel is Israel. Okay. Esau are the Edomites.
Yeah.
And they are certainly also in the Middle East, but certainly some other countries apart from Israel, certainly.
Okay, see, on that question, Rabetta from Germany, yes. Is Satan already cast down before God created the earth, or where did he cast him down to?
The earth has always been in existence, long. And so when he was removed from heaven, he was cast down to the earth here that was already in existence. Because it's a woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So the earth was in existence with some form of inhabitants before Satan was removed from his heavenly places and then heavenly position and cast down to the earth to dwell here.
Right.
And he has been here until he'll be taken away.
All right, God bless you, Brother Bethel. Okay. Shalom, sir, and God bless you, sir. I have a question that has been bothering me, sir. I got baptized without repenting, but after the baptism, I stopped doing the thing I know that was a sin because I don't read Bible and I don't understand it because I thought it's just the baptism. But after some months, I came across Bright TV and I began to understand more about the Bible. It's about 1 year and 3 months now that I got baptized, but I have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So my question now is, can go on. Should I go and be baptized again, or should I continue this way and be praying for the Holy Ghost? Please, sir, your response means a lot to me. Thank you, and God bless you, sister Ada from Italy.
Oh, yes, I've answered it earlier, the same question with the brother that asked earlier. Keep praying and be in expectation. You don't have to go for water baptism again. Just keep praying and be in expectation, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. Evidence of water, availability of water somewhere is the test.
Yes.
If there was no water to quench that test, you won't feel thirsty. Yes. If there is no Holy Ghost for you, you won't test for it. Yes. Blessed are them that test hunger and test after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So you are blessed for having that hunger. It shall soon be filled.
Amen. God bless you, Sada from Italy. It means God has his seed scattered all around. Okay, we have another caller. Bra Favor from Lagos State.
I just want to ask Pastor, because there was a teaching last time in 2019.
Okay.
He said that anointing is not for show.
Okay.
Because after listening to that, his message, I went, I then slept that night. And I was telling them that I can command this is water to come out from this thing, from the tree. And it happened. And that I can make this thing to fly. And all those things happened. And I was even conducting a deliverance for somebody. And I lost touch of that person I was conducting deliverance. I was looking at the miracle that was happened.
Okay.
Yeah, what's your question?
So I want to ask, is that there? Mm-hmm. I want to ask, how can we now, if it's a working miracle, how can you focus? How can you concentrate?
Concentrate in doing miracles.
On the work we are doing, not so that you not be distracted from the miracle.
No.
So I don't go into showmanship.
No, we are talking about showmanship. Now, what I believe and I teach is that the power of God, the demonstration of the power of God, is always for a purpose. What I teach is that the demonstration of the power of God, and then miracles, signs and wonders that take place,
yes,
in the church is always for a purpose. It is not for showmanship.
Yes, sir.
Like people play with the anointing and say, take it, and people will fall down. What is the purpose of throwing people down with an anointing? I see some people that carry football, and one man that was playing football, and if you come, you will fall down. And the whole crowd are busy watching that. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of saying, come and touch my shoe, and then they fall down? It is not for showmanship. It is not to let you know that I am anointed. There must be a purpose for it.
Okay, sir.
Moses was sent to Egypt, and he was given a stick, a staff that he held, that if he goes with a message, there must be a message that will follow that sign. They are going to ask him, what proof do you have to show us that God has sent you? Then he will demonstrate it. And then he said, God told him, if they will not obey, listen to the voice of the first sign, they will listen to the voice of the second sign. Every sign goes with a message. So what is the message? So if I want to perform healing, for instance, I want to pray for people to be healed, I need their faith. So, and how will they know that the grace for healing is available? Then I can bring one person outside and minister healing to that person. And the person receives instant healing. What was the purpose? It's so that they will have faith for the next thing we want to do. That is why we allow testimonies, for people to have faith. I was also guilty of it. Maybe you heard me in that tape. I was also guilty of it. But I am more revelated than to allow that spirit to take over me.
Yes, sir. You know, nowadays, in churches nowadays, people want to see demonstration of the power of God.
That is why I said, depends on the motive, the purpose for that demonstration. That demonstration is to make them believe what you are telling them.
Yes, sir.
If that is the reason, that's no showmanship.
Okay, sir.
Okay. You are going on evangelism in a village.
I really appreciate that.
Okay. God bless.
That is not showmanship. That is a reason for
Yes.
For them to believe.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, Brother Favor.
I was trying to tell Brother Favor that I used to be guilty of that. Yes. And that's the truth, you know. Some time back, you know, I'll be praying for someone, and then I will whisper, you won't hear me, and I will tell the angel to do this, and then you do this.
I remember you said that in the sermon, when you were preaching on that sermon.
Yes, you know, and then, you know, and then when he does what I tell him to do, then people will clap, you know, until I got guilty. I said, come, what are you doing? You're entertaining the people. It's okay, you have the grace. Anything you tell the spirit to do, you will do it. But you are turning to entertainment. They are clapping for you. And then so that they will say, pastor is anointed. So I quickly stopped it, you know. But there is a time where you will have to demonstrate it.
Yeah.
You know, like I had to let that woman know that my God is stronger than your God, and let me prove it.
Yes.
And then they saw the power in action. Now, that led that lady to give her life to Christ.
Yes.
While it was a clear demonstration of the power of God, you know, everybody was clapping, wow, but that girl now gave her life to Christ after seeing that. So we must place these things right.
All right. So that clarifies that, bro. People and any other person having such questions. Okay, bro. Augustine from Lagos.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening and God bless you. You can go on with your question. It's more clearer
now. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. I appreciate what you are doing in the work of God. I pray for more grace.
Thank you.
Pastor, this question I want to ask, there are two questions. Number one is John 16:25-26. When Jesus Christ was speaking with his disciples, he said, all this while I've been talking to you in Proverbs, but the time shall come when I will let you know the Father plainly.
Yeah.
That at that time, when you ask me anything, I will no more tell you that I will ask the Father. So I want to know that time has it come, because people are still believing that they will reach, as in that there is a Father, the highest being, and when they pray to Jesus, Jesus now will tell the Father. So, but what he's saying there is, that time he was not showing them plainly who the Father is. So I want to, are we now in that time that the Father will be revealed plainly? Number two question.
Can I answer the first question?
Okay, sir.
He was preparing their mind for the coming of the Holy Ghost baptism.
Okay.
He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, nothing more. And after he left, the promise came down. The Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost. And he's still around till now.
Okay.
God bless you. What's your second question?
My second question. Before I came to Lagos, so I placed it to, I was watching my decoder. At that time it was strong. So I saw your station brightly. So what attracted me to your program was I saw you did not believe in Trinity, as in your doctrine. You don't believe in Trinity. So when I came to Lagos, I trust the church. I worship with you for some time before I relocated. So, but last week I listened to this program. I saw somebody ask you about Revelation 3:21, where Jesus was saying that those that overcame, they will sit with him in his throne, even as he overcame and sat with the Father on his own throne. Now, what I want the answer to the question that day, you are referring that Jesus will hand over to the Father. So, what I learned about your church, you don't believe in Trinity. Now, the Trinity means there are three personalities in one God. But you are still separating Jesus, that there is a Father. So I want to know, is it that Jesus is different from the Father? Or we have, instead of Trinity, it's a Twinity, as in two persons instead of three persons? Or double it?
If there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, Apostle Paul referred to Christ as the wisdom of God and the power of God. So you want to see what wisdom and what power. Now, there's another scripture where Christ had to ask in Matthew 16, who do men say I am? Who am I? Now, then in another scripture in John chapter 6, and he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Then another scripture again. I give you two more scriptures. In John 14, Philip asked him, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And he said, Have I been so long with you, Philip, and you still don't know me? Have I not told you, if you see me, you see the Father? And then Apostle Paul again came. I give you another scripture. I and my Father are one. Now he came again in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, and without controversy. He said, great is the mystery of God. And then he said, God was manifest in the flesh. Now we come to another scripture. Let me add one more. If you come to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, maybe we'll read this. Let me not just quote it. From verse 14.
Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood.
The children of God are partakers of flesh and blood. That is who we are.
He also himself likewise took part of the same.
God himself also came down and participated in the flesh.
That through death he might destroy him that had
the power.
That
was the purpose. He came in the flesh. So that you will understand Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5.
Hebrews 10 verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh in the world.
When he cometh into the world.
He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not.
But what?
But a body had thou prepared.
You prepare, and that body was prepared where? Where was that body prepared? It was prepared in the womb of Mary. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, Apostle Paul said, Christ is the wisdom of God. Which wisdom? You see, it's a mystery. That's why it's a mystery. Now, I preach a sermon because of time. That a series, I think up to about 6 part or so. Part 1, part 2, part 3, up to part 6. Some time ago, if you go to our message archive, you see it. We are, the title is, Who is Jesus? And there, Jesus, you will see that wisdom displayed there. There is Jesus, the Son of God. The Bible says so. There is Jesus, the Almighty God himself. There is Jesus, the Son of David, even with the lineage. And there is Jesus, also the high priest, but not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek, who has no beginning and has no end. We see that in Hebrews chapter 7, if you read it from verse 1. So, when you look at who Jesus is, don't pick only one side and run up with it. That is the problem with the oneness people who see Jesus as Almighty God. You run off with it. So it depends on what God is doing and what is using Jesus to do. Whatever he's doing for the purpose of salvation, he's using Christ. For the Bible tells us that it pleased the Father in Colossians chapter 2, that the fullness, verse 9, the fullness of the Godhead dwell in him bodily. It pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in him. And John tells us that Christ received not the Spirit by measure. Fullness was in him. So you have to look at it that way. Now, Revelation 3:21 speaks about two thrones there. The throne of the Father and the throne of the Son. So, we're talking about authority. Now, he's going to rule on earth here in the process of the agenda for 1,000 years. That is his throne. And we will sit with him on that throne. Authority. We will have that authority with him. Right now, he has overcome and is also with the Father in heavenly places. And doing a job there, of course, with all authority given to him, because he's given a name that is above every other name. At the mention of that name, every knee bowed. And what name is it? Colossians 3:15 says it is the family name. So that is the name of God himself. The mystery is very interesting. So there's nothing like Trinity and there's nothing like Trinity.
Okay.
It is just the understanding of the process of redemption. which God had decided to use Christ to fulfill.
Okay, thank you, sir. God bless.
God bless you. God bless you, God bless you, Brother Augustine, Brother Ifine from Delta State. Okay, we are trying to actually answer the first question. Because it's referring to Matthew 22, the Bible talks about the parable of the marriage feast. So I'm sure it was Christ that sent the disciples to invite the good and the bad people. I believe it was Christ that gave them that garment, or those garments. My question is this: why Christ did not give the man his own garment,
he accepted
the invitation?
No, the garment was given by those who went to bring them in. And it's a garment of righteousness.
Yes.
So you were following the message, but you were not obeying the message. Simple. Righteousness is obedience.
So, Brother Ifan, I believe you now understand clearly where you made the mistake. It wasn't Christ that gave the garment. It was those who were sent forth to invite by the message being preached.
It's the message that dresses us. So if you don't allow yourself to be dressed by the message, then you will not be righteous.
All right, God bless you, brother. Fine, God bless you, sir. All right, let's keep the questions coming in as they come in. All right, we have this from Sister Agnes, an online member from Fombot, Cameroon. All right, she says, my family and I have been online members for many years now, and we have greatly benefited spiritually from your teachings. May the Lord continue to bless you, sir.
Amen.
Recently, the Lord led my family and I to join a house fellowship started by some of the online members.
Oh, that's very good.
Wow. Few months ago, two of the prophetess prophesied that the fellowship should buy a ram and sacrifice at particular junction for restoration and for her brother who was born deaf and dumb to be delivered. The pastor used the word of God to make them understand that that is the spirit of error. But they still went ahead with the sacrifice on behalf of the fellowship and sprinkled the blood at the junction and around the house where we fellowship before it was roasted and eaten. It has been more than a month since they did the sacrifice, and they have still not realized their error. Instead, they said those who did not partake in the sacrifice should repent. My worry now is whether to continue with the fellowship, because we understand that this is the second time this ram sacrifice has been done. And from every indication, it is not going to be the last, except God intervenes. Sister Agnes.
That is gross error.
The pastor is fighting against it, but the people are still stubborn.
That is gross error. And if a spirit actually spoke through those people, it is a spirit of error.
Amen.
Every prophecy must line up with the word of God.
Amen.
If it goes contrary to the word of God, something is wrong. It should not be accepted. And please be very, very careful. It's very easy for Satan to smuggle into a ministry and rule that ministry. And if the pastor refuses to stand on the word of God, that fellowship will not stand. The Lamb of God has been sacrificed for us. You cannot shed any blood again. The highest price has been paid on the cross on Calvary. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So which other blood is higher than the blood of Jesus? And the Bible tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lord, not the blood of an animal. And the reason is because Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that it is impossible for the blood of an animal to take away sins, to change the nature of sin. That is why a perfect sacrifice was brought in. Under the Old Testament, we have bulls and goats being sacrificed under the Old Testament. But under the New Testament, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, take it away, replaces that. That is why it's a new covenant. If I were the pastor of that church, that person will never prophesy again in that church. If I were a member of that group, in fact, and if they refuse to repent, even after I show them in the scripture, I will excommunicate them. And if it is their house that we are using for that, I will leave them. In fact, I will not join that fellowship again, because the spirit of error is there. Very soon they will be prophesying nonsense. Thank God for the leader of that house fellowship. More grace upon you. Don't allow that spirit to smuggle its way to your midst. Any prophecy, including in Brother Assembly Church, that tells you you should go and take a live animal and give an offering, live animal, it's not of God. It's not of God, though. The live animal that was offered for us is the Lamb of God himself on the cross on Calvary. So let them stop that. One problem with this, some of these prophets, is that they don't study the word of God. And anything they see in the spirit, they think is God talking. They are not able to discern between God and devil. They don't know that they're only channel. So you stand on it. If not, they will turn that place to a select church. Turn that place to a church that will be ruled. And please, when there is a headship in a church, this is one of the areas to identify these false spirits. When there is a head in that church, a pastor in that fellowship, and he rules by his understanding, and the member insists and carries it out, that is not the spirit of God. That person is anointed by the devil. It's a stubborn spirit. The spirit that will not subject. Then what's the need to have the pastor? And there cannot be two captains in a boat. And two cannot work together except they agree. Why are you tolerating them? You are creating. Sometimes you people need member, and then all manner of things will be tolerating around you because you need a member. That thing is there to make sure that fellowship doesn't take root. And this is the time to fight it. Explain this to them, and God will bless you. Amen. It's all a right. False spirit. In fact, very angry, sir. Very false spirit.
We have a caller, Brother Moses from Jos. Brother Moses, God bless you and shalom.
Sir, I just want to understand more about the Calvary parable of the wedding feast.
Okay.
That they sent to go and invite people. They said both good and bad. Mm-hmm. But it's been determined that he said both good and bad. But how does it look that the wedding invite both good and bad? And at the end, in found one.
That we have answered it.
I think it's the same person. He wants it to be clarified to him. He feels he doesn't understand it clearly.
I want to understand more about that.
Did you hear the answer I gave now in the written one? Did you write it before?
Yes, we discussed with someone. Sometimes we talked about this very issue. But we couldn't get it. And as the other caller, that he gave him answer. So he don't mention about the good and bad.
That's what I'm saying. You don't understand the answer that I gave?
Yes, sir.
It
was said that they should invite both good and bad.
Yes.
His emphasis now is, since the master said invite both good and bad,
yes.
Why then still deny the person who comes in? And
both the good and bad were invited into the feast, but those who went and invited them, they were clothing them, but he refused to be clothed.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Moses. Thank you for calling for clarification. God bless you. And thank you, our sister from Cameroon, for calling or for sending in that message as well. It's very important we get to know what is happening around and fight such spirit.
Yes.
And thank you for standing your ground.
And let me quickly use this opportunity and tell all viewers and our members online, the converts, my converts in my ministry, the Bride Assembly, that get converted through my ministry, we have a bearing.
Yes,
we have been delivered from all the nonsense going on. After coming out, we gather, we begin to see the things that we have been delivered from. We will not take it. That is why it's not easy to gather my converts. We are very stubborn. We stay with the word. If you want to use us to establish your kingdom, be sure that you are not deceitful. It will not work. Because the bright television is there. They are still connected to me. They will ask me questions and I will answer them publicly for everybody to hear. You cannot keep us. They have alternative. They have the bright television to feed from. So when they come for fellowship, be sure that you are Bible-based. If not, they will trouble you. And they will trouble you. Church will not stand. They will grab you. It happened in so many places. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. What is enough for the wise? All right, let's go on. I know a question was flashing earlier. All right, Brad Joshua from Cameroon. Say, Shalom, sir, I thank God for the grace he has given you. Please, I want you to help interpret this scripture for me. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 27, because I don't really understand. Is it that we should not shave styles or carve our hair when we shave? I believe you are joining for the first time.
Why should you be decorating your face using your beard? That's what the Bible is against. If you want to cut your hair, please, you know, we talk about moderation in all things.
Let everything speak of Christ.
You know, you see people decorating their, they will be designing, use clipper, use this one, and design, and then they are coming out, you know. They say you should not do that. Be a human being and stop appearing like an animal. That's what he said.
Right, God bless you. God bless you. Okay.
You know, there are some that when they do, they will leave. Oh, you're like he goat. You know, when you see that, you think that they're he goat. You know, and all those are funny.
I actually, funny enough, used to do that. Yes, until one of, I think it was doctrinal issues, right? Gabriel Ojijiaka was part of it.
Yes.
And then in the discussion that was going on, I was watching the program and they said, and the person looks like an he goat. And he said, you had always been saying it, but it didn't really hit me until the day.
He said it,
and I was like
or those women that will carry razor blade and shave their eyebrow.
Then
when they look at the mirror, they will see that they resemble monkey. Then again, they will have to look like human being again. They will take black chalk and then paint and they will return it. It's never the same again. Why did you remove it before? You know, all these are some of those vain things that people do and just copy. And God knows the people that do that are heathens. They do that to their gods. They do that to those demons. They do that to these things. You can imagine somebody would dress as a masquerade. What is a masquerade? I mean, what have you got? Why would a human being dress and look like an animal and say you're a masquerade? Or you go to America and then see their Halloween celebration and all those ones. They have their reason to whatever spirits that is following. You a Christian, what's wrong with you? What have you got to do with Halloween? God bless you.
All right, so wherever you are, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Shalom and God bless you.